over here has to be recharged, so I'm gonna have to just read you what it says. Maybe a little bit later, the device needs a little boost here. But so I can't put on the screen anything at this moment, maybe soon. But let's just review what we learned last week. I'm gonna start again from Pasuk, from Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph. Okay, this is what we started last week. V'asa esenai v'erev hine arba kironos. Zechariah, he lifts up his eyes and he sees four kironos, four corners. Kironos either means a horn. Okay, we just began to discuss, we'll go over everything again. V'oimar lamalach adev rebi mo'ele, what is the nature of these four kironos, these four horns? So he answered, Asher, so the answer was Vayomer Eli, and he said to me, Eile HaKeronais Asher Zeru Es Yehuda Es Yisrael Viru Sholoyim. These are the horns. A horn, as we learned last week before Yom Kippur, represents power, strength. A Karen, in contrast to a Shofar. A Shofar and a Karen are really the same thing. It's cartilage which comes out of the head of an animal. Some animals, the cartilage is solid. There's nothing hollow in that cartilage. That's a keren. And other animals, the cartilage that emerges is hollow, what we call a shofar. So the keren represents pure, solid cartilage, and it's extremely powerful when the animal applies this force. Using this keren as a weapon, it can be lethal. And it's a symbol of power. And here there are four corners, which we'd explain to mean the Dalet Malchios, that Klal Yisrael is going to be dispersed throughout the entire world by through the Dalet Malchios. These are the corners, Asher, the powers, Asher, which Zeru, Es Yehuda, which will be instrumental in bringing about the dispersal and the spreading out, the Golos of Yehuda, Es Yisrael, Virushalayim. Okay, let's review the Mitzvah of it. Let's see Pasuk Aleph. You know, this last one, so review very quickly. Pasuk Aleph, Vo'ere, B'mara, Hanavua, Suleman, Hanavua, Arba, Kronos, Reheim, Remez, Li, Arba, Malchios. Okay, the four Malchios, HaMenachim, Es Yisrael, Kiba'alei, Karnaim, Im, HaKeren, who gore the Jewish people like animals which have on their heads horns, Karnaim, Im, HaKeren. Good morning, Shalom Aleichem. I'm sorry I'm putting my back to you. I couldn't get the setup, okay? Rav Mordechai Biedenstock is here.
Just show me where it is.
The other room on the left side.
Thank
the other
you.
Room in the back. You can walk in on...
Okay.
In the very, very back?
I'll check.
They're piled up. If you don't... Okay, we have Mr. Mordechai Biedenstock. He comes here at the shul. Try also. The one over here? I think I took that one in the room. Okay, for now I'll go get him. Okay, so these are, fine, listen, Mesuzah sort of here. Zemarame Zalumas Hashaheru Le Yisrael Mekilu Nagchu Oysam Bakar Natshe Pizru Oysam Hain of Hain. It's as if they gored the Jewish people until they were dispersed here and there. Es Yisrael Kimos Kimovi Es Yisrael Bevav. Okay, grammatical point. When it says over here Es Yehuda, Es Yisrael, it's as if it says V'es Yisrael. And then it says Virushalayim. Now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says Elu Hakronos, Elu Humos Asher Be'arba Ruches Hashemayim Asher Nokhu Bekarnehem. Rashi is a bit different. Rashi is saying a different pshat. One second, I'm going to put it on mute. Okay, we able to find it? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Okay, so Rashi over here says that it does not mean the Dalet Malchios. You can see Mr. Binstak is behind me. I apologize to you, I can't face you because the wires here from Kippur got all messed up. They took everything out of here, the room, Baruch Hashem. For davening, Baruch Hashem, the place is here, it's packed in Midwood. They need every single inch of the building, Baruch Hashem, there's so many people, Chaste Hashem, and all the wires had to be removed. That's a good thing. And after the shir is over, I'll have Mir Hashem put everything back together. But right now, we have to just do the best. We have this over here. Rashi disagrees with the Mitzvah Stavid. Rashi says that Arba does not refer to the Dalet Malchios. Instead, Arba refers to the four corners of the world. The Klal Yisrael will be dispersed every corner of the world. Different pshat. Then it says, Es Yehuda v'Yerushalayim ad Asher Zeirum. they will be dispersed. What does he mean over here in this part of the Rashi? Asher nagu b'karneim es Yehuda v'yushloim. It's part of the continuation of the sentence until they be completely dispersed. Okay, let's take a look over here at the Radak. Radak, I'm just going to read the Radak because I can't. It's a little bit difficult for me to put everything on the screen now at this moment. Let me just read the Radak to you. If you hopefully you have one. Most editions have a Radak. Pasuk Aleph vo'esa b'mara hazoy shav lirois mara acheres shehi mivo'eres min horishayna. First thing that the Malbum, the Radak says, is that this vision, Perek Beis, is a continuation of the vision of Perek Aleph. He's telling us that this vision is going to be similar in nature. The concept is going to be the same. And what is that? Golos. We have to remember that not everyone, when we learned Perek Aleph, not everyone agreed that the nevuah was a negative nevuah referring to there would be a korban bayis sheni. The Radak l'shitaso did learn that's what it referred to, that even though there would be a bayis rishon, the bayis rishon will be temporarily built. The bayis sheni would be built, but the bayis sheni would only be temporary, and it would end with its korban, and there would be galus. So, and the Nevuah Perek Aleph, Zechariah, he asked the Malach, can you please explain to me what is going on? And if we remember, when we learned the Hakdama, the Sefer Zechariah, all of the Mefarshim, they pretty much said the same thing, that this is what's unique about the Nevuah of Zechariah, that the Navi himself doesn't know what he's saying. All of the prophets that we have, and we've learned, they knew exactly what they were saying. They saw a vision, they had a vision, whatever that means, all different types of prophecies, but more or less, they fully comprehended what they were seeing, what was being told to them. And in addition to them being given the understanding to see, they also had a command to give it out, to tell the world what's going to happen, to tell Klal Yisrael the vision. When we read what the Navi told Klal Yisrael, we have a difficulty in fully understanding what he meant to say. There are so many interpretations, there are so many dimensions as to what the Navim were telling us. So we have many, many Mefarshim trying to desperately comprehend and decipher the depth of the prophecy. But one thing is clear as day, that the prophet himself knew exactly what he was saying. It was clear to him. What separates Zechariah from all of the other Nevi'im is that Zechariah did not know what he was saying.
If the Navi didn't understand what he was saying, how could the people he's talking to understand?
So, well, in the previous parak, he actually asked for clarification. In the previous parak, he said to the Malach, can you please explain to me what is going on here? I see in front of me a man on a horse, a red horse. And then I see behind him a collection of three sets of horses, red horses, white horses, and horses that are a mixture of colors. Can you please explain to me what is going on? Mm-hmm. And the Malach went on to explain. And then the Nevuah ends. Now we can assume that when the Malach explained to him, Zechariah at that point fully understood the significance of the Nevuah. We now are back in the same position that we are for all of the other prophecies. All of the other prophecies that we learn about, we don't exactly fully comprehend, and we do our best. We have all the Mefarshim that tell us, give us different ideas. Everyone is giving a different dimension to the prophecy. But before we get to that point in time, it's unique that the Navi himself doesn't understand what's going on. So here the Radak opens up Perek Beis by telling us that this Nevuah is similar in nature to the previous Nevuah Perek Aleph, but it was simpler. It was a simpler Nevuah that even Zechariah would be able to understand without needing to ask the Malach for explanation, because we don't find that he did. He just sees this, he presents it, v'zehu. And the Radak explains very powerfully that b'mara hazois shav liros mara acheres shihi mivo eres. It's clear, it's self-understood, at least min hari shayna, more so than what he heard in the first parak. Ki hevin mimena, he immediately was able to understand ki akronos heim l'nageach, that the horn, the nature of the horns is to gore, to cause damage. Kumo, the karne re'em karnov, bohem amim yinagach yachdav. We're going to read this. That's the parashas HaShavua. V'zoy sabrocha. Okay, how long will it take for us to read V'zoy sabrocha? When is Simchas Torah? It's Sunday, correct? Simchas Torah. Wait, when is Simchas Torah? I have to look at the calendar, all mixed up already. But it's in a week, 2 weeks.
Week from Sunday.
Sunday. So Shmini Atzeres is Shabbos. Shmini Atzeres is Shabbos, and Simchas Torah is Sunday. That's the plan. Okay. So so it's going to be in approximately a little bit less than 2 weeks. We lay in the Zayis Sabrach, and then we read this pasuk, the Karne Re'em Karnov. His horns are horns of a Re'em, which seemingly are very, very powerful horns. And with these horns, he will gore. Which shevet is that? Yosef? Well, Yosef Amar. Who's the shevet? Who does it say? I don't remember. Which shevet does it say? Bohem amim yinagach yachdav af seretz. Vehem rivvoy sefrayim. Vehem alfei menashe. Yosef. Uli Yosef Amar Yosef. What does it say? Uli Yosef Amar Yosef. How could I forget this? Only okay, and at the end of that it says the end of Yosef, it concludes, and he has horns of a Re'em. A Re'em is obviously a very the horns of a Re'em are very powerful horns. I'm not so sure we know what a Re'em is. I vaguely remember this there was a write up from Slifkin. Okay, the famous rabbi, I don't know if you remember, Slifkin. So he's a world renowned expert on animals, as they relate to the Torah. And a lot of these animals are mystical animals. It's not so clear we know exactly what they are. Like a nesher. What is a nesher? There's no way a nesher can be an eagle. A nesher is probably. Probably a vulture, but even a vulture, is it really even a creature that exists today? Is it more of a spiritual creature? Everything has a parallel. So we like to, the parallel that we can relate to in the English translation of 95% of Bibles is an eagle, which is a very weak translation. Even article translates it as eagle. They'll be the first ones to tell you that it can't be an eagle, but that's what the world, that's what the Olam says. So the eagle, it's probably more like a vulture, as you mentioned, more like a vulture. But even a vulture, it's not necessarily a creature that we are familiar with. Whatever it is. So Re'em is the same thing. What is a Re'em? Re'em is also an extremely complicated creature to pin down, to match up to the creatures that we know about in this world. In any event, it's not important for us at this moment. One thing we do know, it says in the Torah that this creature called the Re'em has extremely powerful and lethal kronos, horns. And these horns are its weapon, and it can inflict lethal damage upon the entire world. This is just an example to point out that Zechariah was shown four horns. Does not say from what kind of animal they were from. It just says four horns. Let's go further. Next,
I see something, the difference between this Navi and the Nevi'im Kodmim. But he says, every time he asks, Ma'ele Adoni, Ma'ele. By Yirmiyahu, for instance, he says, Hashem says to him, Ma ta ro'e? He says, Sir nafuach hanukhi ro'e, upanav mipnei tzafona. Vayomer, heitavta lir'ot. מצפון תיפתח הרעה על ישראל. So there was no questions and answer. Hashem answers, asks him, מה אתה רואה? What do you see? And he says, what I saw. He doesn't ask, מה אלה? And suddenly, so there is a different, the level of the nevuah is lower here. That he asks to, the simple thing, and he asks, מה אלה?
Okay. Okay. Oh, he does ask Mo'ila.
Don't ask that.
Right, that's exactly what we said before.
And Hashem says to him, what do you
say? Right, that's what we explained. That's how we started. When we started, we explained that's the difference between Zechariah and all of the other Nevi'im, that Zechariah himself did not know what he was seeing. He had to ask for clarification. Exactly right. Exactly. Perfect. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go further. Now he goes on to say the Arba Kronos in the Radak, meaning the Radak, Arba Kronos, Vehem Arba Malchuyos. The four corners represent the four Malchuyos, Vehem Malchus Bavel, Umalchus Parasumodai, Umalchus Yovan, Umalchus Romi. Vehem Tirgim Yonison, Arba Malkivon, the Arbaton, Hereu Li Yisrael, there are four kingdoms. The Targum Yonison clearly says the four refers to the Dal Malchuyos, and each one caused damage to the Jewish people. Asher Zeru. What is the damage of the Dalid Malchuyos? The damage is Golos. The damage is to be dispersed, to be separated from our homeland. Asher Zeris Yehuda es Yisrael v'Yerushalayim. Okay, so this is the Radak. Let's take a look at the Malbum. The Malbum. No, there's one more pasuk. I apologize. There's one more pasuk in the Radak. Voimar, the Malach explained, Asher Zeru, Nikhu Oid Oisam Ad Shezeru Oisam Heina Vohena. That the Dal Malchios will gore the Jewish people until they will be dispersed here and there. Kol Achas Meakronois Bismana Heireu Lohem. Each Malchus in its time accomplished the same damage, dispersed us. Ki malchus paras, afal pishe he'elum mehagolus betchilas malchusam, acharechein he'reu lohem bimei artach shasta, harishon uvimei achashverosh, atshnashtaim lidar yovesh. He's saying something very, very important. When we focus on the malchus of paras umodai, which did not last all that long, okay, I think the whole thing was only 52 years, the golus of paras umodai, we think of them as when we talk about the damage they've done to us, we think about Purim. Lahashmid laharug ula'abed eskol ha'yehudim minar v'yadzok in tafanosh b'yomechot. We don't look at the golus of Paras u'modai as a golus of dispersing us, of sending us away from the Beis HaMikdash, because Koresh gave permission for us to return. And he gave us a very nice donation to the cause. He even returned some of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. And at the very end, Daryovesh HaParsi also gave permission. So in the middle, we had some problems. But we don't look at it that they were the cause of dispersing us into Galus. According to the Radak, he's making an extremely important point. If you want to define the damage of the Dalid Malchios, including the damage of Paras u'Modai, it is their success in not allowing us to live in Eretz Yisrael. It is their power to disperse us, to send us away. And even though permission was granted twice, still the vast majority of the time of Paras u'Modai, the pasuk is telling us they were instrumental in not permitting us to return, in dispersing us. Talk about today, Edom. We live in the Golus of Edom. So is Edom not allowing us to return to Eretz Yisrael? Okay, put aside what's going on now. So you would say, no, anyone who wants to go can go. Pick yourself up and go. Problem is that it's so delicious to stay in America. Why would you want to go? Okay, why doesn't the average person want to go to, why don't I want to go to Eretz Yisrael? How come I don't pick myself up and go to Eretz Yisrael? It's because it's too good here, right? It's just too good in America. So you can prevent Klal Yisrael from returning either by physical force or by spiritually brainwashing people, or just you're just so good to them, you bribe them, you give them a place to live, you give them protection, you give them a pension, a social security, you give them all the benefits. So why would you want to go? So even though no one's thinking like this, the goyim did nothing but in shamayim, we have emunah that the koyach of Edom were in Galus, and the koyach of Edom over here, this pasuk is an eye opener. It's not something to take lightly, this pasuk, that if you want to define what is the damage of the Dalit Malchios, it's these words. Asher, Zeru, they have dispersed, Es Yehuda, Es Yisrael, Virushalayim. Because if not for this pasuk, if you would ask me, define for me the damage of the Dalit Malchios, I wouldn't say this. I would say, well, Paras, I would say the damage of Bavel was they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Golos was collateral damage. When I talk about Paras Umadai, they would say Paras Umadai, I'll tell you what Mepharshim say. This is a very frightening vart. And that is Achashverosh made a gzera, Lahashmid, Laharok, Ula Abed, Eskol HaYehudim, Minarvi Adzokin, Tafin Noshim, Biomechot. That gezerah was never, ever bottled. Achashverosh was the ruler of the entire world. And that gezerah was never, ever bottled. The only thing was, because Esther Hamalka prevailed, she was able to convince Achashverosh to enact, to decree another gezerah, to give the Jewish people the ability to protect themselves, to fight for themselves, to counteract Lahashmid, Laharog, Ula'abed, it's called Ayahudim. But it would be so much better for us if the gezerah would be bottled. If the gezerah Lahashmid, Laharog, Ula'abed would be bottled, would be canceled, we would not need have the anxiety to worry what's going to be, and to get together, to protect ourselves with the right to defend ourselves. I don't need a Meichel Yutoivis. I don't need you to tell me, oh, we're giving you rights to bear arms. We're giving you permission to have your own army, to fight back, to take revenge. We're giving you permission. A Meichel you. Just cancel the Gezerah. I don't need this favor. I would prefer that we don't have permission to organize and to fight back. It would be much more beneficial if there wouldn't be a gezerah period that the other people are permitted to kill us, to murder us, every single last one of us. And what's very frightening about this chazal, and I'm telling you now, is because the Gemara clearly states, do you know why today, in the year Tovshin Pei Aleph, Purim, Habo Aleinu L'Toiva, we're not going to recite Hallel? Can you imagine? It's 5,000, Tovshin Pei Aleph, 771. In the fifth millennium, we are not going to recite Hallel on Purim because Akate Avde Achashverosh Anan. We are still today considered, in the eyes of Chazal, the servants of Achashverosh. Achashverosh is dead. He's gone. Do they even know where he's buried? Probably in many history books, they probably got rid of him. He never even existed. He's a myth, probably in many secular history books. But Chazal knew the emes. Achashverosh was for real. Achashverosh, he may be dead, but yet in their minds, Akate Avde Achashverosh Anan. We are still considered in the world of Halacha his servants. We have never been released from the horror of Paras Umadai, and thus the Gezerah, Lahashmid, Laharog, Ula Abed, Eskol HaYehudim, Minarvi Adzokin, Tafin Noshim, Biyom Echad, is still in force even today, Tov Shin Pei Aleph. And the only reason why we have survived is because he also issued another gzeira that the Jews have the right to defend themselves. They have the right to protect themselves, to defend themselves, to be an entity unto their own. It's within their rights. Could you imagine that? So if you would ask me, what is the danger of Achashverosh, I wouldn't say it has anything to do with being dispersed in throughout the entire world. And we talk about Yavon, what's the danger? The danger of Yavon is the denial of God. Basically, to put this is a poison which clearly is today very, very much alive, where the world has become very secular. Everything has been attributed purely to science, and God has been removed from the equation completely. They have their charter in the convention for the Democratic Party for the upcoming election. They have removed for the first time from their charter one nation under God. That refrain has been deleted for the first time in American history. One nation under God. That speaks volumes of what we're holding today in this world. If they would mint new coins today, there is no way in the world they would put on a coin or a dollar bill, "In God we trust." No way. They would put "In God we do not trust" if they would do anything. It's a frightening reality. You ever see on a credit card? Do you ever see on a credit card it says "In God we trust"? You ever see on a Metro card, a credit card, or any electronic device that you "In God we trust"? They have every mishigas you can possibly have on these cards. These cards are used for advertisements. The Metro cards, they make plenty of money. The MT, even though they're bankrupt, they make plenty of money putting advertisements on the Metro cards. So they write whatever they want to write. Will they ever consider even dawn upon them to write "In God we trust" on a Metro card? It's the biggest joke. And yet every child in yeshiva is taught that when you write a letter, today it's also very silly because no one writes letters anymore because everything's electronic. You write on top of the page, "Beis Hei, Baruch Hashem," or "B'siyata D'shmaya, Beis Samach Dalet." When you write a letter, and where is the letter going to go? It's going to go in the garbage eventually. But still, when you write the letter, you teach a child, everything you do is "B'siyata D'shmaya, Baruch Hashem." In the secular world, if you would ask, so what's the danger of Yavon? It's this poison to deny the existence of God and to attribute everything to science and to glorify Teva in its own right. What is the danger of Edom? What is the danger of Edom? Edom, it's a good question. It's a good question how you would define the danger of Edom. It's a tough question if you want how you would define, but I don't think people would say that their goal is to prevent us from returning to our homeland. Edom is really a combination of all three. Edom is really a combination of Bavel, Paros HaMadai, and Yavon, and certainly people that are very smart can explain in much better the unique spiritual damage of Edom. Yet, I don't think the average person would even entertain the idea that the damage is Zeru, is dispersal. And yet, that's exactly what it says over here, to teach us that our focus is wrong. Our focus is wrong, is that the common denominator of the Dalet Malchios is to disperse us. Yeshnei am mifuzor umiforod bein ho'amim. There is a nation that is mifurod umifuzor, that is dispersed. That's what Haman said to Achashverosh. That's the goal of all four, to disperse us, because obviously if we would come together as one, we would be invincible. And the place to come together as one is certainly in our own backyard, in our own territory in Eretz Yisrael. And this is the secret that they know and we do not know. I told you, the average person wouldn't say this, but that's the secret. Asher Zeru, to disperse, Es Yehuda, Es Yisrael, Virusholoyim. There's obviously a lot of depth in the three terms. We know that Yehuda is the Malchus of Yehuda, Yisrael is the Aseres HaShvatim. What then does he mean, Virusholoyim? To split Virusholoyim. Ad Hayom Azeh, there's one thing even Jared Kushner can't do. Can't convince anyone that Yerushalayim is purely ours. Yerushalayim, in all of the peace agreements, all of the attempts throughout the last 30 years, did you ever hear someone say, okay, part of the deal will be that the Arabs will relinquish their hold on Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh? You could have the East Yerushalayim, you could have the Temple Mount, it's all yours, it's all yours. If America would put their foot down and say, no, it's not yours, get lost. Get lost, get out of here, you don't belong, go to Mecca. What do you have with Yerushalayim? What's your business with Yerushalayim? Get out of there. No, no one is willing to do that. No one is willing to prevent, to stop the Zeru, the dispersal, the splitting, the separation of the elements of Yerushalayim. And it's mamish right here in the pasuk, Zechariah. This is the nature of the Dalai Malchus. Let's now go take a look over here. And the one who brought out this point is none other than the Radak. He is the one that really elaborated to bring out this point. Okay, let's go to the Malbim. The Malbim, Pasuk Aleph and Beis. I'm going to read it. Okay, I'm just going to read. Hopefully you have an edition that has the Malbim. Vo'eso es'enai ata her'ohu be'ur ha'nevuach ha'kodemes ma'ash omar oid tifutzeno orai. V'ro arba kuranois v'akeren muvonoi te'oimi. The Karen, it's muvona, what is it's I don't know what that word means. Does anyone wonder of Kalman? What does the word te'oimi mean? I don't know what that word means. Te'oimi, a twin? Muvono te'oimi, shabo al karne habale chayim, hanoikrim v'gam bo al hazovios shaba sha'arba'a ruchos. Okay, what it means over here is, whatever it means is that this prophecy, this is a very important chiddush, that this nevuah, according to the Malbim, is an explanation of the previous nevuah. The Radak alluded to this. He didn't say it in the same exact terms, but he says something very similar. This nevuah is going to be an explanation of the previous nevuah. And the four corners, he tells, he's combining the Malbim, Rashi, and the Mitzudos in the Radak. He's combining all of the Peirushim that we learned until now. Number one, it represents, well, I shouldn't say that, because the Malbim Lishito, so he learned that the previous prophecy was referring only to Yavon. The man on the white horse was Alexander the Great, and the three sets of horses represented the three divisions that emerged from his Malchus. He learned the entire Nevuah not in reference to the Dal Malchus. What now does it mean a Karen? A Karen means power. And also the fact that it says four, it means that we will be dispersed to the four corners of the earth. Now, Pasuk Beis in the Malbim, he explains more. Vayomer Elia Elech HaKranois Asher Zeru Es Yehuda Shetziur HaKranois Ba Mitzad Echad Mitzad Echad. On the one hand, Mitzad Shenokhu Se Furuzo Yisrael. Okay, very beautiful connection of the Malbim, that it says in Yirmiyah that the Jewish people are a seh that has been firuzah, dispersed. I guess here the seh means it's the collective noun. Sheep, seh is singular, but it refers to all of the sheep. The entire Klal Yisrael has been dispersed. Bekarnehem, He's quoting it from the Malbum. And Karen refers to power. The Gambo al Tzior has Zovios v'haduchos. Four refers to the corners. L'hoiros, to teach us. Shebholpino meiruchos ha'olam yesh Karen ha'oimed l'nageach es Yisrael u'lefazram. Every corner of the world, there are enemies. Our enemies are waiting to harm us and to disperse us. Okay, it's very frightening. I read yesterday, last night, that in Montreal, they were davening in seven shuls. There were seven synagogues in Montreal where they were davening. And the report supposedly, I don't know anything firsthand, everyone in the seven shuls was wearing a mask and was observing the laws of social distancing. And the police came into the shul and said, davening has to stop. This cannot go on. And they said, but we're all wearing masks, we're all following the guidelines, we're all wearing masks, and we're all observing the laws of social distancing. Why do we have to stop davening? No, you have to stop. And they literally shut down the shul. So the people, they went outside, and they started to daven outside. No, you can't daven outside either. Everyone has to go home. And they forced, seven shuls were forced to shut down. Now, listen, I'm not an alarmist. This is not a, I wouldn't call this a pogrom, chas v'shalom. But it's still frightening. It's a very frightening thing that wherever we are, there's something about us they don't like about us. There's something about a Jew that the goyim just don't like. They couldn't figure out a solution for us. If they really liked us, they would figure out a solution for us. They're afraid. What are they afraid of? That we're going to spread the disease. Okay, it's a very legitimate argument. But if they liked us, they would find a solution for us. When they want to do their own things, they find solutions very quickly. The answer is they just don't like us. It's not frightening what they did. What are you going to complain? I don't think you can't go complain. They want to shut down the yeshivas, right? I mean, today is the big day, Tuesday. Today is decision day. They're threatening to shut down all of the yeshivas. You know what that means? All the yeshivas. Do you know how much money every single yeshiva spent on buying plexiglass? We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars was spent for plexiglass, for gloves, for cleaning crews. Can't even begin to imagine how much private money went in. Every single yeshiva, outrageous amounts of money went in. Why? Because people felt that after 6 months, life has to go on in a responsible way. And this all was done with in coordination with all of the biggest experts. And now there's an uptick. And unfortunately, the uptick is not just by us. The uptick is also amongst them. And their schools are completely shut down. Okay, the public schools are still closed. Everything is closed. And the uptick, but their numbers are the same as our numbers. There's an uptick across the board. Now we have to also shut down. If they liked us, they would find a solution for us. They would help us figure out a solution. They wouldn't be so swift. It's because they just don't like us. You don't like us. When you don't like somebody, whatever you do is no good. And that's a very big problem. It's a very serious problem. And that's what it says over here in this pasuk. He writes over here in the Malbum that wherever a Jew goes, you're going to find somebody that doesn't like you, no matter where you are. And they're looking to harm you and looking to disperse you. Halacha biyadua. Esav Soine Yaakov. It's very, very frightening, and you have to make a Kiddush Hashem, do everything you can do, but after everything is said and done, we're not able to be buddy-buddy with everybody. That's what he writes over here. He writes, very scary. The Karneirim Karne, we know we're not perfect. A lot of times, there are a lot of Chil Hashems in the news. It's very common, you see in the news, a terrible Chil Hashem. But, relative to the Goyim, you know, we're pretty good. We're pretty good relative to you know, a lot of things that the goyim are doing out there. We're not, and this inability to find a solution is just very frightening. The gambo al tzir hazavya saruchas leosh uchal pino miruchas olam yeshkerni oimel inagechet sol lulfajam uchlal biyodem. Now the third line in Pasuk Beis. This is a general rule. Shehanevim tziru es hamalchuyos biarba'a. The Nevi'im described the kingdoms with the number four. Keneged arba ruchos olam ki ilu b'chol ruach yesh malchus miuchedes mesheles al haruach ahu. Each ruach, each corner of the world has a separate kingdom. Shagam shel roiv tigbar malchus achas v'simlech b'kipa b'chipa. Even though in general there is usually one superpower that rules the entire world, b'chol zeh nevertheless nimtzoim kol ha'arba'a kol achas b'ruach miyuchedes. Nevertheless, each region of the world there is still considered to be an authority. Like today, today in this world, who would you consider to be the superpower? You would say United States. Some will tell you China. Okay, there are people who rule the world to a large degree, but yet each country has its autonomy, total independence. That's exactly what the way the world is today. The ministering angels who have influence over the kingdoms, so them be arba madregois in four different levels, usedodim misyachasim bimerkava, relating to the chariot of Hashem, these mystical things, well yoina el arba ruchos, the chol echad ma megamas panav el ruach miyuchud, each one directs its attention to one side, kasher nispoer beperish mas bimerkava. He showed him that during the Zman of Golos, you'll find the Arba Koronos, Hamenachos, Es Yisrael, Bi Arba Ruchos, Veheim, Gamkein, Ho Arba Malchios. Then at the very end, he puts out this thing, the Dal Malchios, Hakoilulim, Shekol Echad Mim Goive Beruchachas. Okay, so at the very end, he goes and he says Gamkein. But his thrust, he has a very different approach to Malbim than the Radak. According to the Radak, Radak and Mitzudos said exactly the same thing, where they made it very clear that the four Koronos are not operating at the same time. They operate one after the other. There's one Malchus, and when that one Malchus comes to an end, then enters the next Malchus. There is, it's sequential. One after the other. They're not happening at the same time. The Malbim, his entire Perush, is thoroughly rejecting that principle. He's telling us that the four Koronos are operating at the same moment of time. They're all there. It does not mean four, the famous Dalid Malchios. It means four is always a number that represents the four corners of the world. In each ruach, in each region of the world, there is an authority. And that authority does not like us. They're looking to harm us. They're looking to use a keren to bring upon us harm. And wherever we go, we're going to find ourselves, and you can't escape. You can run, but you can't hide. There are only four corners of this world, only four sides of this world, and each side is controlled. And simultaneously, all four of them are coming to harm us. In the laws of Pase, in the laws, the very fascinating rule in the laws of people learning Daf Yomi about 2 weeks ago, was there were many blot, about 10 blot, discussing the law of Pase Birois. Pase Birois is an amazing sugya. Anyone who goes up to Eretz Yisrael, someone who's traveling, making Aliyah Leregel, would travel in the time of Chazal, time of the Torah, to Eretz Yisrael. It was a very long, dangerous trip, and you would have to stop over on the way. And it would come Shabbos. You would have to stop, you would have to encamp on Shabbos, and you need water. And you need water for your animals, you need water for yourself. What are you going to do? How are you going to be able to carry water from a place that's a Rishus Sarabim on a road, on a public road, How are you going to be able to go and there's a well that's right adjacent or in the middle of a public road? How are you going to be able to take the water from the well and bring it into the Rishus HaRavim? That's a Malacha D'Araisa of Hoitzah. A well is usually a Rishus HaYochid, and the street is a Rishus HaRavim, and this is a Malacha D'Araisa, for which is a Chiv Kares, a Chiv Skila. What are you going to do? So make an Erev. Go build a wall around. I can't go build a wall. I'm traveling. Excuse me. I'm traveling. I'm just a traveler in this world. I don't have the resources to go build a structure to make this into Rishus HaYachid. So Chazal gave you a solution. The solution is extremely, extremely powerful in concept. All you need to do is to define the corners. You define the corners. In the middle, it can be completely open. When you define four corners, this is a makom. Ordinarily, we're not so lenient. Ordinarily, for a sukkah, there's no shalach for a sukkah. You make four corners, you're done. No such thing. Okay, you have to, the Chazal wanted real walls. But when push comes to shove, and you're not able to have real walls, and you need to create a Rishus HaYochid, a separate Rishus. A Rishus is defined by its corners. If you do work on the computer, you do graphical design, you have icons, you have the four corners. The four corners defines the Mokoim, the space. When it says here that this idea is not a new idea, It goes back 3,000 years to the Navi. The Malbim explains, Zechariah saw four koronos. It's like on the screen. They show you when Israel, when they find a terrorist, and they show you how they launched a laser-guided missile to take out the terrorist, and they show you the four little corners, the cursor on the screen. He was shown four koronos. But these four koronos represent the world. And the entire world is an unfriendly place for Jews. And it's a frightening idea, which we fool ourselves in thinking that everyone loves us and we're buddy-buddy with everyone. We make a peace treaty with this country and that country. But he makes it clear that until the days of Mashiach come, we have to always be vigilant, on guard, because frightening. Wherever we go, they're out. There they are. It's at the same moment in time. Okay, let's look now at the Likutei Shas. Maybe we'll try to finish this up right now, so tomorrow we can go further. Wait, there's another. No, right. Now we'll go to Likutei Shas. Okay, and that'll be it. To finish up these pesukim for Esau, if you don't have the article edition, you don't have this. Let me just read it to you. I opened and lifted my eyes. Now this is an amazing Chazal because it could not be more relevant, and it must be a simin min hashamayim, like none other, that Hashem is very pleased with choshva olam who comes to the shir. Because what does it say over here in this Chazal? I lifted my eyes and I saw there were four koronos. It says in the pasuk, "Ulekachtem lochem bayoim harishoin pri eitz hadar kapois timorim va'anaf eitz avos ve'arve nochal." It says in the pasuk that on Sukkos you should take for yourself the dalid minim. Okay, that's the mitzvah hayom today. The next 4 days is to prepare. Everyone have a good magnifying glass. You have 4 days to go to spend in the store, analyzing every single little vinesrug. You have 4 days. What's the significance of the 4 days? Kineged arba malchiyos shebohein mifazrin es Yisrael v'yorshim es artsa. Those four minim, the lulav, the esrog, the hadas, the arava, that we shake in all directions, corresponds to the umos ha'olam, that have dispersed us in every corner of the world. Shemiyatsu Eitzaro al Yisrael, just in case the Umay Sa'olam have enacted an evil decree on the Jewish people, Arba Minim Elu Mivat Lin Atzosam Shenemar. How do you know that? You know that from this pasuk. Could there not be something more timely, more relevant than what we're learning over here? Vo'eso es einai, I lift up my eyes, Zechariah, v'hine arba kuronois, v'yomar la'malach, adoy v'bi, mo'ele, v'yomar elai, ele ha'kuronois asher zeru es Yehuda Yisrael v'Yerushalayim. Okay, so let's just try to figure out what's going on over here. The Medrash says, al derbech pshat, the reason why, there are about only a million reasons as to why we shake the Dalet Minim, but among the multiple reasons why we shake the Dalet Minim, it's the four Minim correspond to the four Koronois of this Pasuk. This Pasuk mentions in the vision that Zechariah saw four Koronos, and we learned many ideas what exactly the four Koronos means. Either it means the Dalet Malchus, it means the four corners of the world, the four sides of the world where we are being dispersed. And the Pasuk, the Medrash is telling us, the reason why we take the Dalet Minim is to tell us that just in case on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it was passed in Shemayim, a Gezerah, that we should be dispersed, we should go into exile, our exile should endure, it should get worse, we should be dispersed to the four corners of the world, then by shaking the Dalet Minim in the four directions, the four Minim, it will cancel that Gezerah, the Gezerah of being dispersed. And it makes a lot of sense because, I mean, what it does is it takes the mitzvah of Dalet Minim and it combines it to the mitzvah of Sukkah. When you go into the Sukkah, there's a special Yehi Ratzon. If you look in the Machzor, there's a Yehi Ratzon that you say when you go into the Sukkah. And the Yehi Ratzon reads something like this: just in case on this Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in Shemayim there was a Gezerah that I should suffer, and all suffering is captured in the concept of exile. I should go into exile. It's a catchphrase for all forms of suffering, which means when a person suffers, he has to leave his home, he has to go out into no man's land and start all over again. Then may it be that what I'm doing now is a fulfillment of that Gezerah. So I don't have to suffer the real thing. Leaving my diras keva, my beautiful home, to go out into this little hut in my backyard with some psoilas on its roof. The schach is called the psoilas. It's called the garbage, basically, of what grows in the field. Psoilas gurin v'yekev, straw, hay. Garbage. I know it costs plenty of money to buy schach today. It's not garbage. Cost a fortune. But yet in halacha, the schach is called garbage. You have a hut, and on your hut, you have leftover residue, refuse from your grain, from your granary, from your winery. You take this stuff, and you put it as a hut. What kind of hut is that? This should be the fulfillment of galus. No more. I was yoytze yidei chayvasei, and now I'm clean, and when Sukkot is over, I can live a good life. Now that's what you do when it comes to the Sukkah. Now what about the Dalet Minim? It's something different. Different. Dalet Minim, I can show you Midrashim, it's a weapon, it's Simcha. Ulekachtem lechem b'yom priyei tzadar. Ah, fruit, delicious fruit, it's usamachtem. There are many midrashim that indicate that it's a wonderful thing. But this medrash is telling us no. The Dalet Minim is similar. It enhances the Sukkah. Going into the Sukkah is a bittul of galus. Taking the Dalet Minim, which have four Minim, which correspond to the four koronois of this pasuk, whether it means the Dalet Malchus, whether it means to be dispersed in the four corners of the world, shaking them is a cancellation of Golos. There are many people who have a custom to shake the Dalet Minim, to make the bracha on the Dalet Minim specifically in the Sukkah. They do it in the Sukkah to combine the mitzvah of Sukkah with the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. Why? Why? My inyan shmita eitzel har Sinai. L'chayra, Sukkah is anane hakavod. And Dalet Minim is usimachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem. So you have to be usimachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem only in the anane hakavod. You can be usimachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem wherever you want, wherever you find yourself. On the New York City subway, you could also be usimachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem. You have to be dafli usimachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem from the anane hakavod. It's a bigger madrega to be usimachtem in the basement, somewhere deep, deep down in the earth. Then being usmachtem only, no kunz to be usmachtem in the Beis HaMikdash, and then any HaKavod. Why do you have to bring them together? Why are there so many people that have this liking, this urge to bring the two together? Well, what we learned today, it makes a lot of sense. Because it's a very popular idea that going into the Sukkah, it's not just Anane HaKavod, it is a fulfillment of Golos, that we should not need to suffer anymore. And the proof is that's what it says in the Machzor. Believe it or not, the Machzor didn't quote all the other Midrashim. And here we learned an incredible Chazal, based on what we learned today, the Dalet Minim also accomplishes the same thing. So now it makes a lot of sense why there is such an inyan to go and bring the Dalet Minim into the Sukkah and make a bracha on the Dalet Minim and ask Hashem that it should be enough of the Golos, and we should want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Someone told me something, someone very frightening. I mean, he said to me, talking to someone every year, he says to me, he's a very passionate person. It's not, this guy is not a very complicated person. And he says to me, all this that's going on now with, you know, whatever's happening in the news, v'chulu, he says, Hashem is trying to tell us, why don't you go to Eretz Yisrael? Not that it's any better than there. It's even, you can't even go now. It's lockdown, right? It's even worse here. But he says to me, then he goes, there's no way in the world we're going to go by ourselves to Eretz Yisrael. This is like a really simple guy, like no. He said, and it really frightened me. He says, well, Mashiach's going to come. Yeah, we're going to go. We're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. There's no way in the world we're just going to voluntarily decide, let's make Aliyah. We'll go make Aliyah. We'll go to Eretz Yisrael. You see that happening? You have people just look at this guy and this guy and people, they have a good life here in America. It's going to happen like that? You're just going to go? Just going to give it up and go to Eretz Yisrael? Hashem is going to make us go. That's what he said to me. He's going to make us, he's going to force us to go. And you have this shakeup that's happening now. Everyone is very agitated. It makes you think. And he really shook me up. He really shook me up, this person, because, you know, he's saying something that's very frightening. Now, one last thing about this Medrash, which we have to figure out. Now that the Medrash combines Golos, to ward off Golos, with three words, Yehuda, Yisrael, and Yerushalayim, we have to appreciate that there are three different types of Golos. Okay, we started today saying that what's the significance of Yehuda Yisrael? Yehuda Yisrael. So Pasha, Yehuda is the Malchus of Yehuda. Yehuda and Binyamin, the last surviving part of the nation before the Churban. Yisrael was what happened to the Aseres HaShvatim. And Yerushalayim, it's not so clear. What does that mean, Yerushalayim? Because Yerushalayim, I mean, I told you today, it's very obvious, Yerushalayim is separated. The Ir Shechubra Lo Yachtov, that is supposed to be joined, is split. And there's no way we're getting rid of them so quickly. But what do these ideas, what do these concepts really, really represent? Yehuda represents, if you'd want to say Yehuda, they were the portion of the nation that pretty much remained religious to the very end. Yisrael was a rebellion which immediately resulted in a lack of observance. When the Malchus of Yehuda split, what do? They made their own Beis HaMikdash. They made their own holidays. They made a new religion. Let's not make believe. The Malchus of Yisrael was a new religion. There was a temple in Basel, a temple in Don. They had a big festival in Chodesh Kislev. Yeravam ben Nevat, he made a new religion. From our perspective, from the perspective of a religious Jew who's traditional to the teachings of the Torah from the time of Matan Torah, they're not religious. Yehuda, pretty much, were Torah-observant Jews, traditional Jews, back to Matan Torah to the very, very end. They were Avodah Zarah here and there, towards the end. But more or less, this is the surviving, the members of Klal Yisrael today are all from Yehuda and Binyamin, not from the Aseret HaShalotim. What about Yerushalayim? So when we talk about Yehuda, we talk about division amongst religious Jews. We talk about Yisrael, we talk about division amongst secular Jews. And we talk about Yerushalayim, this is division in politics, political events. Yerushalayim is a place that is viewed as the capital of the Jews, all Jews, the secular Jews even to a larger degree than the religious Jews, but yet the religious Jews, they cherish dearly Yerushalayim. It's something which, to a certain degree, brings us together, but also is something which is a focal point in our relationship with the Umay Sa'ila. So it's interesting is that there are three different, I want to suggest here, there are three different concepts being presented in the Dalam Al-Khiyas. And we can definitely appreciate this in the 21st century. 21st century, there are approximately 15 million Jews in the world. From that 15 million, how many of them are observant? I don't know the answer. Could you say 2 million? Is that even an exaggeration? Let's say it's 2 million, make believe. Maybe let's say 3 million. What about the other 12, 13 million? Very little. This is a fact. There's very little Yiddishkeit. At least they know they're Jewish. They can be identified as Jews. They're Jews. Acheinu b'nei Yisrael. They're our brothers. This is like little Babich is out to save them. We should be out to save them. We should be doing something. I don't know. But amongst them, is there peace? I don't think so. Amongst the religious Jews, are we all together? No way. No way. There is, unfortunately, a lot of division, dispersal. Amongst the secular Jews, they also can't get together and have one platform, have one focus on what they want, and certainly not with us. And Yerushalayim represents, listen, we do our thing, they do their thing, but guess what? We're in the news every single day. At least once a week, an Orthodox Jew is mentioned, almost, at least once in 2 weeks for sure, on the front cover of the New York Times. There's something about Orthodox Jews, at least once in 2 weeks in the front, we're always in the news. And what is our center? Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. It's a mokom and a concept, a term, which that the Umay Yisraelim look collectively at all Jews. The goyim are not so stupid. They know there are religious Jews, there are irreligious Jews, ultra-Orthodox Jews. I don't know the difference between all these terms. It's a little too confusing. All the various, but they know the all different types of Jews, but a Jew is a Jew. And when they look at the Jewish nation, Yerushalayim is a concept which is a catch-all from the perspective of a non-Jew, from a global perspective, a universal perspective of Jews. And that, unfortunately, there's division. there's division. They are aware that we cannot come together unified with one goal, with one purpose. So it mentions over here, very frightening pasuk. Zechariah was shown four koronis, Dalet Malchios, or the four corners of the world. And the goal is, until Mashiach comes, Asher Zeru, Zeru, the Goyim are going to separate us. They're going to disperse us. And the pasuk concludes, they're going to disperse three different dimensions, three different elements of the Jewish people. There's the element of Yehuda, which seemingly means the religious element. Observant Jews, Shomrei Torah u'mitzvos. They know better than us that we can't get along. Can't get along, unfortunately. Es Yisrael, Yisrael, the Malchus of Yisrael, were irreligious Jews. If you have your own temple, the Shchut Echutz, the gefährliche things they were doing, what's going on over there? Have your own new holiday, a new holiday in Cheshvan? New religion, new religion. It's what we would call the secular Jews. There's no Achdus amongst them either. Let's not fool ourselves. If there would be Achdus amongst the irreligious Jews, it would be pretty good. We'll be a lot better off. The Yerushalayim, everything until then was internal. But what about our relationship to the world? Even that, we'll divide it. And unfortunately, that's their success and our failure. And Mashiach will not be able to come until we do something. We do something to be able to take away the Zeru, this principle of what the Goyim have done to us. Okay, we'll take a short break, and then I want to learn with you some laws of Sukkos. Some interesting laws of Sukkos, the Shkizin, and what to do if it rains on the night of Sukkos. Right now, as of this moment, it's supposed to be nice weather the evening of Friday night. It's supposed to rain Friday morning, but by Friday afternoon it's supposed to clear up completely. The weather changes every minute. Every minute, with all the technology we have, they still cannot figure out the forecast a few days in ahead. But right now, at least it looks good. It looks good now, but just in case, I want to go with some of the halachs, what to do if it's going to rain.